This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Billy Stats here with Fox Sports Knoxville, and I'm here to tell you DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $150 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win the next game, and if they do, you will claim $150 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Talk sports.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Draven Fine, intern Ryan, the Periscope's up. If you want to watch along with us as we come in on this Monday, August 2nd, the 8th month of the year, which...
Sheesh. How's that make you feel? How's that make you feel?
We talk about it all the time. I mean... Part of becoming old is also talking about it all the time. So
I've noticed that. Yeah. You really do. You just talk about the good old days, Talk about the old times.
That is a part of becoming old. Cameron, how are you today on this Monday?
I am doing wonderful. From now on through the Super Bowl, we have NFL or college football something every week through the Super Bowl. Woo. So I am pumped.
How does that
Love
feel?
Me some football. I'm doing good. I'm pumped for it. I realized I have to start getting prepared for, like, fantasy football. That hit me yesterday, and I was
right around the corner.
Yeah, with my podcast, I run a lot of leagues, and I got most of them, like, activated and starting to fill up, like, last week. So trying to get a little bit ahead of it this week. I don't do much, like, season prep or anything.
Not studying up or anything, doing your homework?
When I was younger, but, you know, as I got older, just – I realize the studying only helps you so much. Like, you're really just going to win, like, week 4 or 5 if you make the right waiver pickups. That's usually, kind of how it's going to go. Now, on draft night, you have to hit a couple people. But the sleepers just don't really pan out to win leagues a lot of the time. Unless you get, like, just a rookie that goes berserk. Like Arian Foster and Alvin Kamara. I mean, Justin Jefferson might have won you a league last year. There's probably one that can do it for you. But for the most part, for me at least, it feels like whoever keeps up with it the most and works the waiver wire will have – a chance to set themselves up to have their heart broken in the championship.
Am I wrong, but has fantasy football lost a little bit of its luster? Just a little bit?
It's because you're getting older.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it just all getting old?
I feel like you just think at it.
Ooh.
Well, that is true. I've never won. So
yeah,
that's
I feel that's what it is. It
seems like I usually get towards the bottom, too. So.
The constant losing takes a toll.
It does. To me,
like
it's,
you
not,
said, it's just all luck.
Well, to me, it's not the losing. To me, it's the years of getting to the championship and then losing in the championship as a team that should win. Like the moment my spirit broke, and it's kind of my fault because I'm the commissioner or whatever. We go 17 weeks, which I probably need to change that this year everywhere around. So going into the championship of the league I wanted to win, my keeper league I've had going, you know, probably for getting close to a decade, I guess, at this point. Had like a 70-point lead going into last Sunday. I'm drinking at the Titans game, getting ready to watch us try to win the division. And Blaine Gabbert starting. I'm sitting there checking my phone for Marcus Mariota updates. I missed that, like, Antonio Brown just went AWOL and just, like, didn't show up for the Week 17 game against the Bengals. He's in my starting lineup. I messed something else up. And next thing I know, my opponent came back from 70 down and beat me in Week 17 because half my team was not playing. And I was like, you know what? I'm done with fantasy football. I hate this. And it was partly my fault. But at the same time, I'm just like, this is stupid. It's so stupid.
But that extra weight, too.
Same thing happened to me last week. I blew a lead last year. A small lead, like a 15-point lead going into the last bit, too. It's my fault, but it also makes me mad. I've had teams that I feel like on paper were the best, projected, and then they find a way to lose. There's a whole lot of horror stories in my fantasy football career. I still remember Aaron Rodgers getting a concussion like week 13 or 14 against the Lions and knocking me out of the playoffs. Scoring like 2 points.
You ever won? You won a couple?
I've won a couple, okay. But not the ones I want. I'm in so many that like I've won a couple, but not the not the ones that I want.
How can you guys? Payouts?
Yeah, and between the higher money payouts and just, like I said, the ones I've been in for like a decade.
How can you guys handle like 8, 9, 10 different leagues?
Yeah, it's tough.
Is it not? Like, I feel like I couldn't keep up with everything.
I'm built different. I'm
you just
sorry.
Have to ritualize your time.
Mm-hmm.
Every Sunday morning at like noon, you get on there and you just check every lineup. And then Tuesday, you know, after the games, waiver you just wires. Go through and make your waiver wire claims and, you know, come back on Thursday before there. You just have three times. You got to hit them. Just hit them all
you gotta,
out.
You got to set a block of time.
Got to ritualize it. Just.
I just get kind of tired of it. About halfway through the season, I'm kind of over it.
Well, I've gotten to the point, like, years ago, I was active in all eight, like, trading everywhere. And now I just kind of set them and I'll do some waiver pickups. But unless somebody's coming to me for a trade or, like, I have, like I said, in one league or two, I'll try to be really active in. But last year I was pretty checked out and probably did the best I'd done in most of my leagues. Just found a way to get to
maybe that's the secret.
It might be. That's why I said, like, that's why I'm not bothering with prep. No thanks. No thanks.
I'm going to be ready. Don't worry.
Did you win any last year, Cam?
I did.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought.
I was in like 10 and I won like 4 of them.
Okay. That's pretty good odds there.
I'll take that. Made money, so I think that's the important thing.
Driving, you having a good Monday?
It's okay. Got in here a little late. Man, Chapman Highway. People in East Tennessee, they know Chapman Highway. Chapman Highway is the worst, is it not?
No, Alcoa Highway is the worst.
That's what just got me, too, today.
No one's going to agree with you that Chapman's worse than Alcoa.
I mean, Alcoa does have all the construction they've been working on for like a decade
and
now.
And it's the most dangerous stretch of road like in Tennessee.
I don't know. Chapman's pretty dangerous, too. Has it not been considered one of the more dangerous ones?
I
thought
Alcoa was number one. Like, everyone that comes from out of town calls it I'll Kill You Highway. Like, I mean, it's like known from like out. I mean, it's just terrible.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Chapman's great, but I'm just
Chapman's
saying.
Chapman's pretty rough, man.
I feel like Alcoa is universally agreed upon as the worst.
Is Chapman not longer? I mean, it goes through from like Knoxville all the way through basically Sevierville, right? Yeah. I mean, essentially.
I've never had that much of a problem with it, honestly. I mean, I don't drive it often, but like.
Yeah. Well, there's some construction going on there, too. Just traffic jam.
I'll go there now and then. Somebody want to go eat at like Yield Steakhouse or something. But otherwise.
It's such a weird spot, is it not?
Yeah. But like otherwise, I don't really go out on Chapman too often past, you know. I mean, really past like that Walmart ever, really.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think I've. maybe like once or twice been past that.
Yeah. And that was. I don't even live on, you know, anywhere near that side of town anymore. So I don't have to deal with it. But Alcoa, it still haunts my dreams. So you're good or no?
I'm good. Yeah. As you know, moved out this weekend. Complained about it about 5 times. It was actually not that too bad of a process. It was actually not too shabby. But staying back at mom's place for a few weeks till I move in. And, you know, I got to say, like, I'm kind of dreading it a little bit, you know, going back home. Sure. You're kind of like thinking it's going to be rough. It's not going to be as fun. I've had a blast. Home cooked meals like 3 times a day. My clothes are washed, none wrinkled, just come out.
2 days?
Yeah, pretty much. And it's already been like a blast, essentially.
I'm sure she's having the time of her life, too.
We're having a good time. Yeah.
Okay.
It's nice, though. I might just stay there forever, honestly.
Save money.
Yeah. Again, free laundry, home-cooked meals.
It's not like you're bringing women back anyway, so it's fine.
I knew that was coming.
Life hasn't changed much.
It's not going to affect your dating life at all.
I knew that. I should walked into that one, didn't I?
Well, I'm glad you're having a good Monday. You as well.
How are you, John?
Yeah.
Fine. Nothing really
good weekend?
To report. Weekend was fine. Went bowling on Friday. I'm terrible at bowling.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like you're usually pretty good at the, sports like that.
You know, at one point in my life, I think I was, like my freshman year of college, I took a bowling class, and I got pretty good at that, like 180-ish,
What were they teaching you in a bowling
class?
Bowl
a lot, honestly.
Is it just literally
just
bowling?
You're really just bowling.
I was going to say, I feel like there's not a whole lot you can kind of teach.
Well, I mean, like, they teach you the scoring, but that's kind of obsolete, like, because the machine does it for you everywhere now.
Yeah. I do remember that. I think in like elementary school or something like that, you take like the bowling time of like PE, and you had to like learn how to write the score out yourself.
Oh.
And that was so dumb.
Yeah, we used to go bowling all the time whenever I was like, you know, anywhere from like when I was like 7 all the way to like 12. We bowled a lot, and you know, right around that 12, 2002, 2003 is when they kind of went to the machines, and I remember it being crazy the first time that you saw the machine.
Really?
Yeah, it was life-changing. Like, wait a second, what? This is so cool.
And those little wacky graphics that they threw.
And they have not updated those graphics since 2002.
They have not.
It feels like there would be a lane for a business to come in and make graphics to sell to new bowling alleys. Like, we're going to update these and have some modern memes for you. Cam, remember that. Maybe we should pitch that to pitch that to some places. But first game, 70. Second game, 100 around the knot.
Oh, no.
Like, it took, like, me 16 frames before I closed one out. Like, it was just... I don't bowl ever anymore, but, like, I also don't bowl ever anymore because I broke my thumb twice, my right thumb. Oof. So, like, it's
tough.
It weighs on me. Like,
The other day, too? Still feel a little pain in there?
I mean, I almost constantly feel discomfort in my pain, honestly. Like, when I text, I don't really text with my thumbs. I text with my right pointer finger because of that.
Like a elderly does, basically, tapping with their fingers.
No, I go left thumb, right
pointer.
He does the one where he's
squinting really hard, tapping it with one finger.
No, left thumb, right pointer is what I do.
That's an operation right there.
Yeah.
You got a pretty good rhythm with that, or?
I mean, I figured it out, and then I kind of hold, the phone with my palm / thumb there, keep it up. And it's kind of what I do. Mm-hmm. So like I said, I was thinking, the whole next day, because then Saturday I drove to Nashville for a friend's birthday, and the whole way there I was like, should I get in the bowling alley and just, like, learn how to do the, left. The hook? Oh, well, not the left, just the hook, because you don't really need your thumb for the hook. You just kind of need to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, the kids I used to know at bowl all the time, like, one forearm would be, like, twice the size of the other forearm, so do I want to do that? Like,
you can even it out with practice.
Yeah, do I just, like, make sure to, like, just pick up the ball? When I do bowl, I try to pick up the ball with my left hand and left thumb to, like, give my right hand a break. But, like I said, it took me 16 frames before I closed one out. It was yeah, not very good. I did get spare strike back to back, so I was able to claw my way to 100. But nice. Like it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. And like I said, at one point I was pretty consistently in the 170s. I broke 200 once. Like that was cool. Like once, but then that was whenever I was bowling. Once a week, three games a week at least, in my physical prime too, like 19, before the thumb really gave out on me. So that kind of brought me down on Friday, honestly.
Bummed you out a little bit.
Yeah,
you know what it is, Sean? You're getting old. old.
Like I said, I tweeted it out, but I've been thinking about that. Like 10-year-old me would have kicked my ass in bowling. When I was 10, I could get like into the 120s pretty easily. Like, I was breaking 100.
Yeah.
And now at 31, like I'd be getting whipped. 21 years on life. 21 years alive, and I've gotten worse at something. Which I guess maybe video
impressive.
Games the same. I don't know. 10-year-old me probably would have beat my ass at video games too. Okay. Either way.
Tough.
See, I'm just dealing with age today.
I can tell.
We'll come back with the sports story of the weekend coming out as we get set on this Monday. We're off and running. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. NBA free agency starts tonight. What, 6 o'clock, Cameron?
Yep. Yep.
6 o'clock for NBA free agency, although some deals starting to kind of leak out early. We got some Olympics. Simone Biles is going to get back on the mat tonight. Or is it today? Is it tonight? I know she's doing the last event. She is getting back. I don't know what time it is, but she's coming back to compete in the beam final.
It says tomorrow at 4:50 a.m.
Okay, so it'll probably be on Tuesday nights, like prime time. But if you want to watch it live, it should be 4:55 a.m. We got that. We got what else? We got Kumar Rocker.
Mm-hmm.
Man, poor tough. Kumar Rocker.
Mm-hmm. Oof.
Not getting a contract worked out.
Yep.
With the New York Mets, which seems a little wild to me that the Mets could just be like, "Nah, we're good."
Yeah.
Like, I understand the rules being in place in terms of if you can't work out a deal, you just don't get to sign anywhere to kind of help keep players from strong-arming the Pittsburgh Pirates of the world.
Yeah.
I was going to also include the Tampa Bay Rays, but they're really good and they deserve respect. But in the past, they would have said the same about the Rays back in my day, as that's the theme of the show so far. But, like, the Pittsburgh Pirates, like, understand, like, hey, if you don't get something worked out, you can't sign anywhere else. I don't get it in this situation because it seemed as if the Mets the reports have been, they pretty much flat out said, "Nah, we're good.
Yeah.
We would rather have the number 11 pick next year and keep this draft slot and get to draft again next year rather than sign you. At that point, it feels like Kumar should become a free agent, but it doesn't work that way. He has to go play independent ball now for a year and then go back in the draft. He could have went back to Vandy, but was like, nah, I'm good, which I'm happy to see.
Yeah. Don't blame him.
Although if I was him, although I guess he's not admitting he's injured, he's still saying he's cleared and that he doesn't have an arm issue.
Yeah, like Scott Boras right now is saying he's healthy, but clearly he's not.
It's surprising to me that they're still claiming he's healthy because, I mean, like we saw at the end of last year, his arm was kind of messed up and he was, you know, sometimes hitting 96, sometimes topping out at 92, which was kind of the issue in the championship game when he got batted around. Yep. Like if I was him, I would have went back to Vandy and just opted for Tommy John and had Vandy pay for all of it.
You don't think he's a little heated at Tim Corbin, possibly?
Well, that's why I would have just come back and be like, I'm having the surgery and you guys are paying for it and I'm out for the year.
Kind of a little spite.
Yeah, but I guess, you know, he's got some good insurance and, you know, Tracy, I guess, is he still an SEC coach? Where's he at now? Is Rocker, is he coaching anywhere? He go to end up at Auburn, South Carolina? I don't know where he ended up. I feel like he was a part of that musical chairs between Auburn and South Carolina, but I might be wrong on that. Maybe they got enough money to...
D-line coach for the Eagles right now.
Oh, so he's in the NFL cap. Hmm. So got a little money, I guess, to afford maybe some good insurance. But Rocker's just like, nah, I'm not going back to Vandy. Which I don't blame him because it seems like Corbin ran him into the ground. It seemed that way live as it was happening. Like, as the season was going on, you're like, this doesn't seem good for him. And then, of course, today, you know, is basically the report is just he's not going back. He's good. He's staying out. So that's some big news. That's some big deals. And right now in the NFL, we got at least a big name quarterback. The injury that we talked about Friday. Draven wasn't that worried about it, but it looks like now it might cost him some weeks as Carson Wentz opting for surgery. Going to have to fix a foot issue that apparently he's had since high school?
Yeah, that's high school. They're saying. They're like, like the bone that he had broken, I guess, previously got loose and was moving in his foot or something. And so, yeah, they're going to go in and remove it. But quite the timetable on this one.
Yeah. High school.
So,
wait, really?
Yeah, so it was an injury he had in high school. Which, I mean, I guess, like, sort of kind of makes sense. Like, just for a broken bone, it doesn't seem normal, but, like, you know, technically, I guess, like, you know, I tore all the ligaments in my foot, like, my freshman year of college. So, like, it hasn't healed. But if I was an athlete and had been, like, playing and it, like, got reaggravated a decade later, I guess they could technically say this is resulting from an injury 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, it has, you know, didn't heal properly. So, I guess in that lens, it makes sense. But Carson Wentz now out anywhere from 5 to 12 weeks, which would either put him missing week one against Seattle or, you know, basically getting cleared game week and having to try to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
Or being out all the way through 12 weeks, which would be week October, 8 against the Titans. Like, and the thing for the Colts is, this schedule at the beginning isn't very kind to the Colts as they play Seattle, a playoff team from last year.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams, a playoff team from last year. A road trip to the Titans, the division winner from last year.
Mm-hmm.
At the Dolphins, a team that missed the playoffs but went 10-6. At Baltimore, a playoff team. Houston, who stinks. At San Francisco, who expects to be a playoff team this year, and the Titans again. If Carson Wentz is out and they're going with Jacob Eason, that seems like they're going to be lucky to get out of those games with more than two wins. With two wins. Like Houston, I'll give you. Outside of that, what game they win? Seattle?
Maybe with Jacob Eason. Like,
yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying, like, yeah, I'll give them the win at home against Houston, even with Jacob Eason. But, like, they're not beating Seattle. They're not beating the Rams. They ain't beating the Titans. They shouldn't beat the Dolphins on the road, Baltimore on the road,
yep.
49ers on the road, or Titans again. Like, if he's out all those games, that seems like a really, really bad start to the season for the Colts and would put them almost too much of a hole to dig out of. And maybe at that point you're just tanking for your draft pick next year.
Yeah, I was going to say, even if he does come back, I mean, this is a guy that's already got his confidence shot in Philly. Like, how's he going to feel with coming off surgery, missing literally the first, like you said, 8 weeks and being 1-6, 1-7?
See how quick Draven turned his back on Carson Wentz?
Yeah. I'm just saying.
His confidence has been shot in Philly now. See how quickly he turned your back on him?
Man.
You were going to say if he came back, you don't even know if he'll be any good when he comes back. You were ready to turn your back on him that quick.
This is a foot injury that he's been dealing with since high school. Like, why is it just now? becoming an issue
just
again.
Like I said, if the same bone broke that he broke in high school, I guess technically that report could still be true.
Yeah. Well, I feel really good about that Colts under 9.5 wins I put in last week.
Yeah.
Hey.
Should feel good about that.
So every time we see the word twinge in anything, we should be a lot more concerned, right?
Yep. Twinge apparently means sharp pain, and that's not good, and that seems like you might have a broken bone. Like if you have a sharp twinge in your back, maybe a broken back.
Whew.
So add this to the list of Carson Wentz's injuries, even though I was told last week he's not very injury prone. Add this to the list of his nagging injuries and body ailments. The good news, if you're the Colts, you only give up a third-round pick and a second-round pick next year, because I don't think he's going to hit the threshold to get to make it a first. So that conditional, it's only a second-round pick now, most likely, assuming that he's out. I don't think, if he's out for 5 weeks, it seems really hard that he would be ready to go week one with a new team after not having any type of camp. That seems like it would be a bad recipe for that. Maybe you wait and bring him back, try to get him ready for week three against the Titans.
How's that shake up your division right there? Do you see Jaguars kind of above him?
Nah,
not that extreme.
If he's out all 7 or all the first 8 weeks or whatever, it seems like I think Jacob Eason sucks.
Yeah. Yep.
So, it would shake it up in terms of, it just becomes a one-team division because I think the Jaguars are going to be pretty bad this year too.
Yeah.
To me, it'd be more like the Titans would have no excuse not to win this division by, 3 games.
See the a lot of rumors that the Colts should, or at least a lot of people think they should trade for Nick Foles. Bring old Nick.
I'd say him or Minshew are the best available, quarterbacks that you could possibly get.
Carter would be nice.
Depending on how much they want to spend, I saw all the people saying reports are really good coming out of San Francisco about Trey Lance. So maybe Jimmy Garoppolo would be available if you wanted to actually trade for a starting quarterback this year. Because, I don't think Foles is a starting quarterback anymore.
Yeah,
now,
don't either.
He might be their best bet in Indy.
Yep.
But it ain't like he's very cheap, right? He's still in that expensive deal the Bears gave him, right?
Yep.
Minshew, to me, makes sense, too.
Yeah. I think it'd just be, if the Jaguars want to trade in the division, I guess, is the only kind of thing that may hold that up.
I think a game manager would be perfect for this team, too. They got two good running backs. We know how good their defense is.
Just need somebody to step in and win.
Yeah. Just be 500 through those first
manager.
8 weeks.
They need Jacoby Brissett. They need the guy to fill that exact role.
I bet they regret letting that guy walk away, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Man.
Jacoby Brissett was there for a while, right? He was still there last year, right?
Yeah,
they'd bring him in short yard stuff to sneak for Rivers. Then they let him go, and you would think that they would regret losing him.
Yeah.
And it still just raises the question I had last week in terms of how is Carson Wentz your starting quarterback and you don't have a backup?
Yeah.
And, maybe Jacob Eason isn't as bad as we think, but to me, I'm going to assume he is not going to be a good backup quarterback. Maybe he'll be fine. Maybe they'll surprise me. I don't know.
You haven't heard anything good from the guy so far in his career in the NFL. You haven't heard any positives.
The only thing I saw was that he had a new favorite receiver, and it was the Colts linebacker because he had thrown two straight interceptions.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
The report last week after Wentz went out was basically Jacob Eason's found his new favorite receiver, and it's, I can't remember the name, who plays linebacker for the Colts, who has picked him off twice.
Oh, jeez.
He's going to be so bad.
Again, we saw Jacob Eason here at Tennessee when he was with Georgia, he's not very good.
No.
Yeah.
He's always had a big arm.
Terrible in Washington.
Yeah, he's just never been the guy that you thought he was going to be. He just never morphed into – he never, developed. Had the tools, hasn't developed. Was still, a strong enough arm for them to take a flyer on him in, the third round, fourth round, whatever it was.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
It's been a mid-round pick on him, which that doesn't usually bode very well. Every now and then there'll be a Kirk Cousins that slips through the cracks and, can morph into a solid starting quarterback. Of course, we know Tom Brady was a 6th-round pick, but for the most part, you're going to see somebody Mason Rudolph, who was very similar to Jacob Eason, kind of looks the part, maybe should be better. We're going to take a flyer on him, and then you saw what Mason Rudolph looked like when he was with the Steelers. I feel like that's kind of the ceiling for Jacob Eason.
Yeah,
I will say, Frank Reich, he was offensive coordinator when Wentz went down last time, correct? And when Nick Foles stepped in and led him to the Super Bowl.
Was that the case, or was he already gone?
He was there 2016, 2017.
Okay, so that was the year they won the Super Bowl, right?
Right, yeah, I believe so, okay. 2017.
And then he left after that.
Yep, when, yep, 2018.
Which I guess he felt partial to Wentz, though, because they wanted to trade for Wentz instead of Foles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But maybe, I mean,
I'm just saying, I mean, if anybody's prepared for this situation, it might be Frank Reich.
I mean, it would be kind of funny if they're like, hey, let's bring in Nick Foles again to replace an injured Carson Wentz.
And he's better.
Yeah.
Oof. 5-12 weeks.
So you feel pretty good about your Titans, huh? Locking up that AFC South.
You know, I don't want to, like, do the thing that's going to, like, annoy you guys, but, like, I wasn't worried about the Colts this year anyways. Like, I mean, I feel like I've been pretty consistent with my thoughts on Carson Wentz and the Colts. If anything, yeah. It kind of annoys me that, like, now they're going to have, like, an excuse. And
yeah.
Oh, if we just would have been healthy, we could have won. That's what they kept saying last year. Oh, if we just would have been healthy, we would have won. If you didn't want to lose the Jaguars, you would have won. You were healthy against the Jaguars. And again, like, if you want to have a discussion about, you know, mega brain, everyone's favorite GM, Chris Ballard, I mean, who is for 3 years now, like, not being able to fix the quarterback situation. Like, if you want to have that discussion, I'm willing to have it. Because, I mean, like, yeah, you got caught flat-footed about Andrew Luck. Even though Andrew Luck had been hurt that entire offseason, like, the retirement was surprising, but it wasn't like, oh, wow, I didn't see this coming. Because, like, I remember talking about, like, a month before, like, hey, they don't think he's, like, going to be ready this year.
Yeah.
I remember, like, those reports. Cause I was getting excited, you know, from a Titans perspective there, just like, Luck might be out.
Yep.
For a good portion of the year. And then he's just like, nah, I'm out forever. Which, you know, 1 year, it's tough to find somebody, I guess. Like, Jacoby was fine. They went and got Jacoby. He was fine. But, like, that was 3 years ago. Still ain't got a plan at quarterback. Because let's face it, like, Carson Wentz is a what plan at best? Like, a shot in the dark? Like, hey, we're swinging for something here? Like, he's no guarantee, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like you... Like, Phillip Rivers was at least a bridge gap. Like, you knew you were going to get solid play from Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, you knew what you were going
to get. Declining a little bit. Maybe just a one-year thing, which is what it ended up being. Like, I don't think Phillip was as good as he was, like, his last couple years in San Diego. But I thought he was still solid. He was fine. Even good sometimes.
Yeah.
But you knew it was, like, a one-year stopgap. And then this year, you still didn't have a plan other than, like, let's see if Carson Wentz has anything left in the tank. Like, I thought at the time, and I still think now, like... Would have made much more sense for me, in their opinion, to go get somebody like, you know, be more aggressive for Matthew Stafford.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know why they didn't do something like that, but whatever. They thought Wentz was the guy, I guess. And
you can talk about it's hard to get a backup quarterback, but like the good GMs are always looking for good backups.
You find them, yeah, they're out there.
I mean, I get the Cowboys credit last year for having Andy Dalton. I get the Titans credit for trading, you know, buying low on Ryan Tannehill and, you know, giving up a 4th-round pick for a backup quarterback that you know, ended up being a starting quarterback. There's guys out there you could try to maneuver to have in case somebody goes down, and they don't have anybody. And they might be the one team that should have somebody with the way their quarterback, you know, plays and also kind of takes hits.
You think Mariota's an option?
I would say it'd have to be, right? But although maybe they'll just roll with Jacob Eason. Like, if you spend a, what, 3rd or 4th-round pick on him, you got to at least see what he's got,
yeah,
I guess.
I guess you got to toss him out there and see if you got anything at all,
Now, I'm probably trying to bring in another quarterback regardless because I don't want my backup now to be Sam Ehlinger.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Because I think anyone who watches college football knows that Sam Ehlinger ain't that dude.
They did grab Brett Hundley.
Okay, they did get Brett Hundley. You're right. I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Like, out of that list we saw, just he was one of the better options out of terrible options.
Like, where would you be? Like, I would have been calling Marcus Mariota, but I don't know. Then we get the reports that today's been the a super spirited camp for the Titans today. I wonder if they're riding
super
high.
Spirited.
Yep,
the hell does that even mean?
Just a lot of juices flowing.
They gotta use fluff words over there.
There's a lot of interceptions coming out from this defense, which it's always hard when it comes to training camp. Like, is our defense better, or does like Tannehill just is he like trying to build their confidence, or is he maybe regressing? I don't know, but they say Christian Fulton. You know, had an interception, would have been a pick six. I saw over the weekend, Janoris Jenkins, Jackrabbit had 2 interceptions at Tannehill.
Oh, no. Getting jumped by Jackrabbit?
I mean, Jackrabbit's been able to cover. I mean, no one's ever questioned his talent. And Christian Fulton.
Well, they're covering or getting toasted. I mean,
Christian Fulton was, you know, a top of the second round corner that, you know, maybe could have been a first round guy. I don't know if you saw Caleb Farley's clear.
I don't like
now.
That toe to yours. Sounds like you're a little doubtful of old Tannehill, huh?
I have confidence in Tannehill. I'm maybe really some optimism maybe in my defense. Got some ball hawks over there now. Got some good young stud corners and the Jackrabbit. The timeless wonder.
Yeah, 34-year-old Janoris Jenkins and Christian Fulton, who played, what, five games
Caleb
last year?
Jeez.
Caleb Farley, has he played yet? Has he? Didn't
he
just
got
get
cleared?
Out? He got
he's ready to go
today.
Now. Got a top five player coming back.
I think it's Tannehill trying to force it to his new guy. Trying to get Julio touches.
I don't know what's going on. I don't know who the passes are to, but maybe he's just trying to get the defense feeling good about themselves. Kind of like Vince Vaughn in Wedding Crashers. You know, you throw it a little high, let her intercept one, get her feeling good. Can you do that? Come on, Jerry. Well, it's first team All-State. Put the ball where I want it. I'll make it rain out here. Maybe that's what Tannehill's doing out here. Get the defense feeling a little better. So Carson Wentz out 5 to 12 weeks, which, ironically enough, is probably what their record's going to be this year.
Yep.
Yeah.
5-12, Draven.
That's pretty accurate.
5-12.
Carson Wentz.
Do you feel better being off of the chopping block now? Now you got your little built-in excuse, too, after loving the Colts all year?
It is true.
You feel good about having a little excuse now?
I mean, haven't you said? I mean, that is a good excuse when your quarterback goes down.
Not if it's Carson Wentz, who, you know, is injury prone. And again, if that's like the only, like if you look around the roster, you're like, oh, we don't really have anybody else.
Yeah. Also, by the way, I disagree with the whole Matthew Stafford thing. I think that buying low on Carson Wentz better than spending, what, 2 first-round draft picks on Matthew Stafford?
The price might have been a little lower because, like, part of that equation was Jared Goff, like, getting his contract back. So the price might not have been, you know, what it was for Matthew Stafford in that regard.
For sure.
Although maybe Detroit is still like, no, we don't really care about paying Goff. We don't view that as that big of a problem because like we got to pay somebody. But
exactly.
I don't know.
Probably just more draft picks.
You don't think Matthew Stafford is better than Carson Wentz?
Are you serious?
He's worked himself into a
Carson Wentz has played at MVP level. He's played at MVP level. You can if you want to bring up Carson Wentz's injuries, that's fine. Yeah, he was bad last year, but
and the year before.
You can bring up 5 years ago when he
won the division the year before.
That's not saying much when it's the
you still won the division last year.
It's just model of consistency versus pretty much one
who's the model
year?
Of consistency? Matthew Stafford?
Yes.
Matthew Stafford's model of consistency.
He's better than
Do
you Carson
know how
Wentz.
How many passing yards he gets a year?
He's better than Carson Wentz. He's better than Carson Wentz. He was a better player than Carson Wentz.
Mm-hmm.
But either way,
never Matthew Stafford's ever played at MVP level. He's not. Has he? Has he? Has Matthew Stafford played at MVP level?
Has Wentz
before?
Ever finished the season at MVP level?
Yeah, like no one's ridden more than those.
That's
11
what I said.
Games.
You could bring up injuries. That's fine. What has Matthew Stafford accomplished that Carson Wentz hasn't?
Not being injured every single year.
Won a playoff game? No, I guess he hasn't won a playoff
no,
game.
No, he's 0-3.
Yeah, 0-3. Same as Carson Wentz.
And, well, technically, Carson Wentz has not even played in a playoff game. Technically.
So, there you go. Played in a playoff game.
There's what he's done.
He's had 4,000 passing yards in 8 of his last 10 seasons.
Finished a playoff game. Because he started the one against the Seahawks, right?
Yeah, he got knocked out, pretty early? Early in the first quarter.
Finished a playoff game. That's what Matthew Stafford's done that Carson Wentz never has.
By the way, Matthew Stafford throwing some interceptions out in L.A.'s camp. You guys seeing that? We want to talk about that. Oh, good old Matthew Stafford throwing a horrible out route on when Jalen Ramsey's just sitting there ready to jump it. What are you doing, Stafford?
I don't know what to make of the camps, so I'm not going to do much about the quarterbacks throwing interceptions just yet.
Defense is always ahead of the offense.
Although, was it last year or the year before that we had those reports about Garoppolo throwing all his interceptions in camp, and that kind of came to fruition.
Yeah.
But that's the big news of the day right now. Carson Wentz, wincing and out somewhere between 5 to 12 weeks. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Talking some Tennessee football news. Camp starts this week, right? Practice starting this week.
Wow.
Tennessee got a little bit of recruiting momentum going on.
Okay.
And they tried to build on that today here in about, 20 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
As it looks like, by all accounts, Tennessee is going to add Addison Nichols, a 4-star offensive lineman down from Atlanta.
Let's go.
Norcross is just basically Atlanta. Is that basically Atlanta
or
no?
That's where Kamara went. Yep.
Is that just
it's like northeast Gwinnett County suburbs. About 25, 30.
Oh, Gwinnett, where the Braves are now?
Yeah. Mm. Or the the Braves are in Cobb.
Oh.
Gwinnett. AAA is Gwinnett.
But that's where I'm from.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm from like 15 minutes.
So that's where the minor league team is.
Yeah, the minor league team's in Gwinnett, yeah.
Well, Addison Nichols, 6'5", 318, according to his profile, number 107 on 247's composites, ranked as the third best interior offensive lineman in the country. Looks like he's going to pick Tennessee over Ohio State and North Carolina. Had offers from Florida and Georgia as well. Had taken visits to both of those schools at the beginning of June. Went to Ohio State on June 14th and then came to Tennessee on June 18th. And it seemed like since then people believe he is going to come to Tennessee.
What's his final three? I know North Carolina, I believe, was on the list.
Ohio State, North Carolina.
Was it Ohio
Tennessee.
State? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Tennessee, again, could continue with some momentum because it has kind of, you know, been picking up a little bit when you look at this.
Okay.
And we talked about Walter Nolan, the number one player in the country, according to a couple of websites. A top five player, pretty much by everyone. You know, he put Tennessee in his top four, then moved to Knoxville, and people feel good about the chances there. So maybe a little beef coming to Knoxville.
Mm. We like beef.
What would it be like to play an offensive lineman in this system, Cam? You did the deep dive on Heupel's offenses, like at whenever he's at UCF. What would it be like to play an offensive lineman?
It's zone blocking for the run stuff, but it's it's a lot of quick stuff, to be honest. Like, you don't really need to – like, you're not needing somebody to give you, like, 10 seconds in the pocket or anything because, like, it's either, like, RPOs, slants, stuff across the middle, or that, like, deep ball he likes to throw. I think it's just kind of – if you can hold your own for a few seconds, the ball's usually out.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like you shouldn't be giving up too many sacks.
Yeah. You shouldn't. Evan, yeah, like, running the ball, it should be a zone scheme. If I remember correctly, that's pretty straightforward too. Just get somebody that's in your face. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it shouldn't be too like extremely difficult. Like you said, it shouldn't give up a ton of sacks. The ball should be getting out quick enough. You shouldn't have a guy that's like, you're like, oh no, this guy's like a complete liability because all you gotta do is really just be in the way for three seconds.
So what's the most important factor? Just like being in shape, I guess. Being able to like stay with this fast paced offense,
yeah,
I guess,
would
be the number one key.
Honestly,
but just 310. I mean, that's pretty light. It's not like he's just a big old boy that needs to probably cut down some pounds. I would say.
Yeah, I mean that seems about to be a good size. I mean, not too small where you can't make it in the SEC against good, you know, defensive linemen, but you would think that you don't need to, like, drop weight. Like,
right.
Somebody came in 360, you'd be a little worried about that. So 310 seems to be a good weight. I wonder – I have questioned, you know, what the pro prospects of, you know, linemen at this school now is going to be with, you know, Josh Heupel as the coach.
Good question.
Both offensively and defensively, like, what are the pro prospects going to be? Because you wouldn't think you'd be tested too much –
yeah.
In pass coverage. Mm-hmm. Now, run blocking, I mean, you're still going to have to do. Mm-hmm. We'll see, but.
I mean, like, I can't think of any offensive linemen that have gotten drafted from UCF to pass.
Yeah, I don't know if that's fair. I didn't know if it was fair to, like, judge off of, though, because, I mean, I think of UCF, I wouldn't think of linemen on either side of the ball, really. I mean,
fair. Outside
of Griffin, whenever he was coming off the edge there. But, you know, there's not a lot of, I wouldn't say there's probably a lot of Group 5 guys getting drafted on the line anyway, like, anywhere, right? I mean, like, maybe Memphis has a couple every now and then, but, like,
it depends on the team, but, you know, because people, you know, get drafted from everywhere, obviously.
Sure, but I just mean like a one you'd look at and say a proven, consistent track record. I mean, like, sure.
No, that's fair.
Maybe Cincinnati has a tackle every now and then, but, like, again, like a consistent.
No, you're right, for sure. I don't know. It's definitely not, like, just a fair, complete breakdown, obviously, but it's a good question because, I don't think – like, run blocking, I think you can be all right as far as, you know, getting some film out there. But I think pass blocking, you're not really – I can't really think of a time that I've seen him, like, have any plays that last, like, 5 seconds or anything. Like, if the receiver's running that deep ball route fast enough, you're not just sitting back there waiting on it. It's just 3-step, 5-step drop and just let it go. I don't know. That's a good question.
It makes me feel better that this, you know, this kid is going to, again, not a lock by any means. There's only been two crystal ball predictions for him. They're both Tennessee. But this is a guy who grew up a Tennessee fan. So, like, at least he is not turning his back on the prospect of coming here. Like
everybody else.
Yeah, sure. Like,
literally, everybody else.
I mean, again, kid from near Atlanta.
Yeah.
Highly rated. Grew up a Tennessee fan. Like, we didn't get Trevor Lawrence, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did not.
Didn't get him. So, something to keep an eye on at the top of the hour. We'll continue to watch it. Of course, we'll update you in headlines when it becomes official. And, you know, he makes his decision.
How much better do you feel about Heupel from, like, the start to now? Because, like you said, it feels like we're starting to at least get some momentum. Just the fact that we're kind of in the conversation, like you said, with, like, Walter Nolan, now this guy, it feels kind of good. Get a win over Ohio State. That would feel good.
It feels better than the alternative.
Which is nothing.
Basically. Which is nothing.
Yeah.
But, like, we haven't gotten Walter Nolan yet.
But like I said, just
we're
being
celebrating
in the
being in the conversation. Right. Sure, but he's an in-state guy that was coached by a Tennessee player. Like, you should have been in the conversation the entire time. But again, I am praising Heupel for being in the conversation, and getting Addison Nichols would be a big get. But again, it's a, I don't want to call him local by any means because Atlanta's not local, but it's 3 hours away, and he grew up a Tennessee fan. Like, it's nice that you're able to do this. Mm-hmm. I'm not poo-pooing that, but you're still 12th in the SEC right now in recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the two teams you're ahead of, Ole Miss and Auburn, have, you know, triple your four stars right now. You just got more commitments than them. Like, you're lower than them in average
ranking. So Vandy? Where's Vandy ranked in the
Vandy,
SEC?
Vandy has, they're ranked ahead of us, but it's the opposite. So, like, Vandy has just more bodies than us. So, like, we have a better average rating than Vandy. And, again, this should go up with Addison Nichols, and it'll go up even more if you are able to get someone like Walter Nolan. But I'm not all of a sudden, like, you know what? I feel better now about Josh Heupel. To the point where I'm not worried about his recruiting still. I'm still going to be worried about his recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still going to, like, celebrate the wins. It's still a nice to, you know, especially get a top 100-ish player. And, you know, the Taven Jackson kids rising up the rankings a little bit. Like, you are doing okay. But, again, if you're just looking at average class rating, Tennessee at 87.2 on 247 puts them ahead of Vanderbilt, puts them ahead of Mississippi State, puts them barely ahead of Arkansas, and that's it.
Oof.
So what I say, Mississippi State, Arkansas, and Vanderbilt.
I'm assuming we're behind Texas and Oklahoma, too.
Yes, which would put you, you know, 11th in the SEC this year.
Beamer is out-recruiting us right now over at South Carolina.
South actually doing pretty good recruiting.
Really?
Yeah. Especially compared to, like, what we thought.
I expect that with him.
Again, they got 16 commitments, which, you know, the numbers will put them ahead of somebody like Florida, who, you know, they're not going to out-recruit. But he currently has 3 4 stars.
Wow.
Including, like, a guy. I mean, he's got 3 guys in the top 300 if you count this offensive tackle from Pennsylvania. It's 303. So, I mean, like, basically 3 top 303 players. A 4-star safety. He's doing it. He's recruiting Pennsylvania really well for some reason. He's got 2 of the top guys from Pennsylvania.
From Pennsylvania,
never
works. What's going on there?
And then a quarterback from Delaware. So he's recruiting Philadelphia and Delaware. Maybe he's found a market inefficiency here. Like, hey, the SEC ain't going to Delaware. Let me go over here and try to get these guys. But yeah, for right now, Beamer at South Carolina is slightly ahead of Tennessee's pace.
Lord,
I will say though, I mean, we're in a much worse spot than they are, right? Like, we've been
in South Carolina.
Wouldn't you agree with that? Just based
on sanctions,
the laughing stock of college football there for like at least a month, right? With everything going on.
Yeah. The sanctions matter. Who knows what's going to happen there? I would like to kind of have an idea of what's going to happen there.
Is there any timeline? Have we got a timeline on that, or is it just going to be sit and wait and then here comes the breaking news, Tennessee bowl ban, or is that how it's going to go?
I don't know.
I feel like the NCAA got a lot on its plate right now. Maybe occupied for a while.
Do they? I feel like they got less on their plate, right? They don't have to be cracking down on these teams anymore. They can. I feel like it's just kind of like let whatever happens at this point for the NCAA.
Yeah, and I think that to an extent makes them kind of hesitant to do anything right now.
Yeah,
so
maybe
so. Sitting there with their hands tied a little bit. I don't know.
Do you feel better about his recruiting?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I think it could be a lot worse. By the way, you said Mississippi State at the bottom. What's old Mike Leach doing over there?
Well, you knew Mike Leach wasn't going to recruit. Mike Leach doesn't probably feel like he has to recruit. Although, when he first got there, didn't he land like a four-star quarterback like pretty much immediately?
Yeah.
And people thought, oh, man, he's going to recruit there in the SEC. Right now, again, 86.83 on the average rating for them, which actually puts them just ahead of Vanderbilt. So they'd be like second to last.
Jeez.
He's not going to make it.
Doesn't seem like it.
He is not going to make it.
I mean, you're Mississippi State, so you're already kind of finding uphill, so maybe that's why they hired Leach. It was like, hey, maybe you can like go around the need for recruiting. Maybe your system can do this, even though everyone's kind of doing a variation of the system now. Like, hey, spread you out pass isn't that unique anymore.
Right.
But 16 commitments for Mississippi State, 16 3-stars.
Nice. He's consistent.
The real surprise for me is old Ed Helms over in Missouri.
Oh, yeah.
Ed Helms.
He's got 12.
He really does look like Ed Helms. That would be who would play him in
Stu,
a movie.
He is Stu from The Hangover. That is who he is.
He is.
They have 12 commitments and 6 4-stars.
Okay.
So Ed Helms recruiting pretty well. Same for Pittman. I mean, 17 commitments, but 5 4-stars at Arkansas. Like, he's doing pretty good, too. But, yeah, Missouri, actually, you know, when you look at the average star ranking for now, they're in the 90s, which is surprising.
Wow.
Which is ahead of Florida, ahead of Kentucky, ahead of Lane Kiffin. So it's not awful, but, again, for Missouri, it's really, really good. Again, with when it comes to hype on his recruiting,
yeah,
I mean, I think it's going to be a concern forever.
Yeah.
And I think the on-the-field product could either help it or really hurt it.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that every time, just about.
You could, but especially the first-year coach that hasn't coached at a Power 5 level.
Yeah.
Like with Kiffin, like his first year at Ole Miss didn't matter as much. Like, if they went 3-7 and people were excited about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It also helps when you have Kiffin social media, young guy, kind of fun, exciting a little bit.
I'm talking about strictly on the field, though. I'm talking about strictly on the field. Like, Kiffin's first year didn't matter much on the field. You had confidence in him that he'd be able to figure out recruiting. Now, you know, right now they're hanging out in 13th in recruiting. So, you know, Kiffin might be, like, trying to close strong. But, like, right now they're not really doing much. Mm. Like, Heupel's out recruiting him technically right now.
Hey.
Heck yeah.
Well, no, not an average star ranking, but that might go up after this Addison kid commits, if he commits to Tennessee. But like with Heupel, again, not ever being, you know, really in the SEC as a head guy. And, you know, when he was in the SEC, it was just kind of at Missouri where it didn't really count.
Mm-hmm.
I think his first year could either put some excitement in and like, hey, look at these, wait, we're getting the ball, these playmakers, and hey, the defense ain't as bad as we thought. Or it could just be a complete disaster.
Would you put the defense kind of on him as well? Because, I mean, it's not a defensive guy.
No, but I
I imagine the offense is going to be at least decent. I feel like the defense is just going to be god-awful.
I think I'm putting the defense on him because he hired the defensive coordinator, which, again, they tried to go out and get big guys.
I was going to say.
But, I mean, it's just it's not to steal a Butch Jones phrase, but I do think it is complimentary football. Like, if you are going 3-and-out in 30 seconds or even your scoring drives are a minute, like, you are going to put a real strain on your defense, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I do say, like, if the defense is getting shredded and just, like, gassed and killed, like, he's going to have to get a little bit of blame there. But maybe, you know, you score enough points, maybe that won't matter. That's, like, what the gamble is with this Josh Heupel hire, is that you'll be able to outscore what your defense can stop.
You just kind of got to do what Kiffin did last year and win your non-conference games, right? I mean, score, like, 40 points on Bama. I mean, people would feel pretty good if it was a 50-40 shootout against Alabama, right?
Sure. Yeah. Sure. But, I mean, that would put you basically at 6-6. Which, if you score all points and go 6-6 and score 40 on Bama, that might be a win for Heupel.
I think I would take that. I think I'd take that.
That might be a win for him. Hour one in the books. Hour two on deck. Like I said, the 4-star from Georgia. Officially deciding between 5 schools, Ohio State, Tennessee, North Carolina, Georgia, and Florida, according to the 247 graphic. Ooh. I do think it's just kind of been narrowed down to the 3 is what the impression was between North Carolina, Ohio State, and Tennessee. But we'll see where he goes at 1 o'clock. Hour 2's coming at you. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.